Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. Let's make a start. It's good to see everybody. If I could ask you, please, to just turn off your phones so that we don't have any interruptions. Thank you for coming out on a cold and damp morning. It's nice and warm in here. And this shiur will generate quite a lot of heat today. I'm going to be able to feel your brains overheating, I think, a little bit. It's going to be complicated. But before we get into the shiur, let me thank our sponsors. The shiurim today, the Beit Midrash program here on Wednesday mornings is dedicated for this academic year. Le'ilu Nishmo is Daniel Ben David and Limud Bat Avram Strauss, Mordechai Ben Moshe and Rezel Bat Yosef Meir Marcus, Sichron Livracha. Parents of Judy and Menachem Marcus. Also, my shiur for the year is sponsored anonymously. Le'ilu Nishmois Brana Bas Brandit and Zelig Ben Kalman Aleim Shalom. And also, the shiur is specifically sponsored today by Miriam and Marvin Schechter. Le'ilu Nishmois Miriam's father Yitzchak Ben Ephraim Moshe Ribner, Zichron Livracha, whose yahrzeit is the Shabbos, the 28th of Teves. Thank you for that sponsorship. Much appreciated. And we will get straight into the shiur. This is part two of a three-part series. The good news is next week is more straightforward. I had to prepare next week before I could really do this week as well. And we started last week with an overview of what is Kriyas HaTorah. We're really looking at the issue of partnership minyanim and their main innovation, which is giving women aliyot. In a minyan with a mechitza, but calling up the women and then making the brachas, etc. We are not dealing today with the issue or in this series of women davening from the Amud, certain parts of the davening. We can get to that another time. Next week we'll speak a little bit about Kol Isha, a little bit next week. And I also realized that I don't have time in the three shiurim I'm doing to get into the broader hashkafic questions. We'll do that a little bit today, a little bit next week. But I want to give a different, maybe, series dedicated to that, possibly after Purim. But for now, we're in the more technical issue. Last week, we looked at the foundations of the Torah reading, being from Sinai and also from Ezra, when Ezra and Nehemiah read the Torah in Sefer Nehemiah Perichet, and also from the mitzvah of Hakel, where the king every year reads on Sukkot for everyone to listen. And we saw there that all three of those occasions specified very specifically that the women had to be there. It was essential that the women were part of that experience. And this, therefore, does connect women very strongly with the idea of Kriyas HaTorah. The question is whether it relates in the same way or a parallel way to the mitzvah that we have on a weekly basis. And we saw that evolved as a rabbinic law from Moshe to Ezra and now to what we have today. Originally, it was just one person reading the Torah. Maybe three psukim, maybe three people reading one each. Then Ezra said there's a whole system, Mondays and Thursdays and Shabbos morning with seven aliyahs and Shabbos afternoon, etc., etc. And we have now this mitzvah that we do. The main thing that we need to keep in mind all the way through today's shiur is the following question. When the person gets up to read from the Torah and to make the brachas, we'll see that now we've split those roles, we'll see that today. What are they doing? Are they fulfilling some kind of individual obligation? Do all the people, let's say all the men, we'll look at women again today, do all the men there have an individual obligation? I need to hear what's being read here. You're reading it for me. A little bit like Megillat Esther. It's not as much as. With Megillat Esther, it's clear. Everybody has an individual obligation to read, men and women. And the person who's reading it is doing that for me. But do we say a similar kind of thing with Kriyas HaTorah? Or no? Or do we say this is a communal obligation? This is an obligation on the community. Maybe the men have a responsibility to set that up, to make sure there's a minyan, to make sure there's someone who can read. But once they've done that, it's a community obligation. And therefore, I don't really mind who is reading, who is making those brachas, because they're doing it for the community, not for us as individuals. So as long as they're part of the community, then that's fine. And women are part of the community. So we have to keep those two questions in mind. And the problematic nature of this topic, in my personal opinion, is we never really resolve that question. It's left as a question. Is it a communal obligation? is it an individual obligation? And when we get into the nitty-gritty of women saying those brachot, that's going to be very, very important. And the question of woman being called up to make an aliyah is only even going to get started if we say, well, it's communal, and therefore people can do it, even if they're, you know, not a man. And we'll see that it's very hard to make that point, which is why I'm going to suggest to you today that women's aliyah probably don't even get off the ground, even from the first stage, because of all these complicated issues. And then we need to get to next week's share, which is even if you've made a case that women can be called up for an aliyah, having got through all of this complex web that we're going to do today, you then have to deal with the question of kavod hatzibur, which is, if you remember, the Gemara said, according to the Braisa, in theory women are able to be called up for aliyot, and we'll see maybe the way we do it today, that doesn't work anymore anyway, but you can't call them up because of kavod hatzibur. Next week we're going to look at what is kavod hatzibur. Does it apply today? Does it change with time? Can people say in the tzibur we don't mind, we're happy, etc.? Now I'm not going to take any questions right now. We're going to just see, we need to get into it, otherwise it's going to be too complicated with everybody, you know, asking questions, which probably I'm going to deal with anyway. So let's have a look at some of the very important parts of Kriyas HaTorah. I think this is important just as a topic to learn because we all hear the Torah. Forget about the issue of women's aliyah. What are we really doing when we hear from the person reading the Torah? So let's today look at the brachas as a start. Look at number one. Remember from Ezra when we were reading this, Ezra makes a bracha. It's there in the psukim. Vayivarech Ezra es Hashem Elokim Hagadol. Ezra makes his bracha to the great God. He glorifies and magnifies God. V'ya'anu kol ha'am, and all the people responded, Amen, Amen. This is in Nehemiah. V'ma'ol yedeihem, they lifted up their hands. V'yigdu, and they bowed. V'yishtachavu, and they prostrated themselves. La'Hashem, apayim, arza. Very energetic, very exciting, etc. Masechet Sofrim highlights this. Number two. V'yivarech Ezra et Hashem ha'elokim ha'gadol. B'magidlu, what was the thing that really glorified and magnified God? How did they do that, especially, apart from just the reading? So Rav Gidl Amar b'shem ha'mefurash. I'm not getting into that, but that's very interesting. That Ezra actually said the shem ha'mefurash. This was not in the Bet HaMikdash. This was outside the Bet HaMikdash. And that's a whole conversation. How was that okay? Obviously was. How was that done? Not getting into it now. But Rav Matna Amar, no, b'bracha gidlo. It's the making of the bracha that is the key point here with the Kriyas HaTorah. Not just reading from the Torah, but that we all make a public bracha. We're going to talk about Baruch Hu in a minute. So we're going to see a reading of the Torah without the brachot, or with inappropriate brachot, is very problematic. Because the bracha is really at the center of everything that's going on here. For example, let's talk about Baruch Hu for a second. There is a debate in the Mishnah, people may be familiar with this, when you leave the benching, and people say, Nevarech she'echalnu mishelo. There's a debate in the Gemara, in the Mishnah actually, as to whether the person leaving the benching says, Nevarech, let's make a bracha, or he says, Baruchu. Now, we don't do Baruchu for benching now, but there is a debate. Should he do Baruchu, tell them to bench, should he say? But the Gemara chimes in here, the Yerushalmi, number three, he says, Harry bebukas ha-Torah, but when it comes to the brachas on the Torah for laning, Harry hu omi baruchu. Everybody agrees he has to say baruchu. Laning, benching is the question. Laning is not a question. Baruchu is central to laning. It's ad kadei kach so much that I brought you from the Chasam Sofer in number four, where he says, Nira lefi anias daiti. I think, I want to suggest, he says, Afinu bizman ha-mishnah. Even in the time of the Mishnah, v'gam miyad b'takanas Ezra, and immediately when Ezra brought this in, the efshar, and it could even be afilu b'takanas Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom, even from the time of Moshe, miyad tiknu lo makol echad ve'echad she'ala ama baruchu es Hashem ha'mavorach. From the very beginning, Baruch Hu was central to what we're doing. It's this public invitation. The Haim Anu, and the people had to answer, Baruch Hashem Hamvorach Li'olam Va'ed. We take it so for granted. We say it so many times. But this is an enormously central part of what's going on. You turn around to the whole congregation and say, bless with me. If we did this in English, we would sound like an evangelical church. Praise the Lord with me. And everyone goes, praise me. And it really, this is what we're doing. We're just doing it in Hebrew and we're used to it, etc. Chasam Sofer says, very, very important. the idea of making a bracha before we learn Torah, which we do, of course, in the morning, men and women, yeah, asher bachabarnu mikol ha'amim, the idea of doing that before Torah Esli is in the Torah itself. There is a debate as to whether the bracha on learning Torah, the bracha before learning Torah, is itself min haTorah. Look at number 5. Minayin lebirkas haTorah lifaneha min haTorah. How do we know, says the Gemara, that making a bracha before you learn Torah is itself a Torah requirement? Shneimah ki shem Hashem ekra havu godel lekenu. What's going on there? Moshe Rabbeinu is about to teach the people Torah in Ha'azinu, and he says, Kishem Hashem Ekra, before I even do this, I'm going to call out in God's name, Havu Gadol Elokeinu, and you're going to respond. As if he stood up and said, like, Baruch Hu Es Hashem Amavorach, and they all responded, Baruch Hashem Amavorach Le'olam Ve'ed, and then he teaches the Torah. So there is a sad to say that the brachas that we make in the morning on the Torah is a Torah requirement. What about making a bracha after reading Torah? When do we make a bracha achrona? Well, the only bracha achrona which is in the Torah, of course, is benching. No, every other bracha we make is for sure derabbanan. But if you look here in the number 6, the Gemara goes on to say, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lamadnu birkas ha-toyla achareha, we see that there's a mitzvah to make a bracha after Torah, min birkas ha-mozum, from birkas ha-mozum. Kal v'chomer. All the more so. Ma-mozum, just like birkat ha-mozum, she'ein ta'un lefanav. It doesn't need a bracha before, but ta'un la'achra, but it does after. Meaning, on food that we eat, there is no Torah requirement to make a bracha beforehand. Everybody agrees. But there is a Torah requirement to make a bracha afterwards. Shehakol, mazonas, hadama, that's all rabbinic. But benching afterwards, that's min haTorah. Va'achalta, v'savata, uverachta. So, birkas hamazon has a bracha after, but no bracha before. Torah, but when I now say Torah she'tu'una lafaneha, now additionally has a bracha before it, einu din she'tu'una la'achreha, surely it has to have a bracha after. Because having a bracha after is the Torah model. And if I now see it has to have a bracha before, then all the more so it has to have a bracha after. And therefore the idea of making two brachas, asher bachabanu and asher natan lanu, is very built into the system. We're going to see at the end of this year, I'd really hope to get there, when we talk about women's Torah readings with just women, meaning not a partnership minion, a women's Torah reading, they don't make the brachas. Well, they shouldn't make the brachas. We'll see that. That's clear, but maybe they do sometimes. But the Torah reading without the brachas, I'm not saying it's zero. It's definitely wonderful. People want to come together and they want to read from the... Back in the old days, people used to have a Sefer Torah in the house. And when they wanted to learn a little bit, they just pull a Sefer Torah out and they just read it to learn. Rav Re'im HaKohen in Otniel, when he would give a shir on Friday night, a drosha, he had his own Sefer Torah. He had his own private Sefer Torah. He didn't open a chumash. He opened a Sefer Torah. And there is actually an opinion, which we for sure don't follow, Masechet Soferim, I brought it down, that even a private individual who is about to learn Torah, maybe from a Sefer Torah, just in the evening one night, still makes the brachas before and after. He stands up and he says, okay, asher b'chabanu mikol ha'amim. And afterwards he says, asher nasan lanu Torah se'emes. Now, we don't follow that opinion, but it's you see so baked into the idea of learning and reading the brachas before and after, that the idea of reading without a bracha really deflates the mitzvah very significantly. But we'll get there when we get there. So they're the brachas. In the original system, now you know where everyone who gets an aliyah makes a bracha. Didn't used to be that way. Number 7. Says the Gemara, Ha-poteach v'ha-chotem b'torah mevarech lifaneha lo'achareh. Shabbos morning, you're calling up 7 men to read. The first one originally, the first one makes the bracha beforehand. Hashem b'chabanu mikol ha'amim v'nasan lanu v'sarasa. And he doesn't make an after bracha after it. All the next 5 people that you call up don't make any brachas. They just get up and they read. And the last person, number 7, who gets called up Shvi, he doesn't make a bracha before. He reads and he finishes off. Asher natan lanu Torah emet. And the whole thing is one unit. The Ran explains in number 8. The reasoning behind this is davke poteach v'chotem bilvad hu d'mevarchi. Only the first and the last make the opening and the closing. Adal emtsayim, the middle people, b'turim, they're all exempted. Mishum dekriyat haTorah chashiva chada mitzvah. Because it's one mitzvah. Everyone in the middle is just part of that mitzvah. V'kulu have a kachad gavra. And they're all like one person. In fact, the Meiri brings down that all of those men who are getting aliyahs in the middle had to be there at the beginning and the end to hear the bracha of the beginning and the end, because those brachas were also relating to them. Why did we change this? This sounds great. It's one unit. You open with a bracha, you close with a bracha. Because people came in late, people left early, everyone's running, draying in, draying out, etc. So the Gemara says we can't do that anymore. Even at the time of the Gemara, people were running in and out. Look at number 9. So now, Hapoteich mevarech lefaneha, v'hachotem mevarech le'achareha. Just like we just said, the opening guy has to make a bracha and the closing guy makes the after bracha. V'ha'idna, and it's funny, isn't it, to see the Talmud saying, and these days, like these days in our modern times, says the Talmud, dekulam mevarech lefanei avarecha. Everybody makes a bracha before and afterwards. Hainu time it is a kin rabbanan. The following reason is the reason for this. Gezeira mishum hanichnasim o mishum hayotzim. Because people, Rashi explains, I'm not going to read the Rashi inside, people might come in late, and they never heard the bracha at the beginning. And they'll say, Shanda, people are reading the Torah without saying a bracha, that's terrible. People might leave early, and they didn't hear the bracha afterwards, and they'll say, terrible. I mean, you just see how important the brachas are, that we don't. You could say to the guy, no, you came in late, what do you think's going to happen? You don't hear everything if you come in late or if you leave early. We don't even want people to think, by accident, that they didn't make a bracha. The bracha is so important. So they, to the point that they made every single person make a bracha, which is interesting. I mean, are these brachas levatola? Obviously not. Because Chazal has said, when Chazal say make a bracha, the bracha is obviously a legitimate bracha. Because they said to make it. Can't be a bracha levatola. But they added all these extra brachas again and again and again. Even someone who already had an aliyah, a Kohen, who is called up Kohen, and he makes his two brachas, and then they say, any Levim here? And there's no Levi. They say, do it again. Oh, I just did it. Do it again. Because you, every single unit now has its own bracha. We're going to see in a minute it's a sefta. If there's, it used to be if there's, but before they had Balak Kriya, Balak Kore, if there's only one man there who can read from the Torah, you call him up 7 times. We'll see that in a minute. Okay, how that works. But the brachas are very, very important. And I brought you number 11, an interesting story when they brought this in, this new rule that everyone makes a bracha. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, so the story is told. Rabbi Yonatan Hava'ava Kumi Sidure, okay, he was walking by the window when they were laying from the Torah. Shma Kalein Kruyi V'loim Mevarchin. He could hear this congregation reading, but they didn't have people making brachas on each aliyah. They were keeping the old minag, which was already outdated, and they changed it. Amalon, he said to them, you can't do this. Ad matai atem osim et haTorah karachot karachot. How long are you going to read the Torah? What's kareach? Bald. You're making the Torah bald. You're kind of pulling out its hair. It's got to have these brachas there. You're giving a patchwork Torah, a bit here, a bissel there. You're not allowed to do that. It has to have its brachas. You're not allowed to leave the Torah bare, etc. Now, okay, good. We have a bracha now on every single aliyah. We do that because of the people coming in, the people going out. Who is the person making the bracha for? Who's the person making a bracha for? And we're still holding in a paradigm where the person who's called up is reading their own portion. Yeah? And we don't have a Bar Kori yet. Bar Kori came after the Gemara. We'll see why in a minute. Very interesting reason. So when the person's called up and he comes up and he's making his brachas and reading his bit, who's he reading that for? Who's he making the brachas for? So there are 3 approaches. One approach is that the person is making the bracha for the individual obligation of the people who are there. Okay? What does that mean? Every single person present has an obligation to make a bracha, but the guy who's making the bracha is making it for me, and for him, and for him, and for him, and for her, and for him, and for her. Maybe her. We'll see her in a minute. Okay, bye. So the Bet Yosef says this, an interesting thing. Look in top of page number 3. The scenario we're dealing with is as follows. The Torah asks an interesting question. What happens if somebody came late to shul? Coming late to shul obviously is a real scenario that people have been dealing with for a long time. And they were late, and they're catching up, and they just said their own Birkas HaTorah. They're in the siddur, they just started, Hashem HaChabanu Mikol HaAmim, they just said it. They didn't even have time to say the Korbanos yet. Meaning, in the morning, we say the brachas, and then we learn a little bit. a little bit of Chumash, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Gemara. He didn't even have time to learn. He just said his brachas, and then he heard, Yamai, Moshe ben Chaim, you know, and he doesn't know what to do. He walks up, can he make them again? Meaning, he's just made Asher b'chabanu mikol ha'amim. And now he's going, and he didn't do anything with it. And now he's being asked to make again Asher b'chabanu mikol ha'amim. Surely you can't just make the same bracha twice. Says the Bet Yosef, yes you can. Yes you can. Number 12. Ve'im icher, if the man is late, im echa adam levo lebeit ha'knesset. If someone was late in and they called up for this scenario, he quotes b'shem Rabbeinu Yonah, he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, matzata chatu shitzarich lachzor habracha b'kol ram. He has to make that bracha all over again. Okay? V'natan tam l'dava, and the reason he gives, is kedei lahoitzi otam shaloshamu. He has to be mitzi everybody else. Shkoyach, he made the bracha for himself. But it's not just for him. It's for everybody else there. So that's clearly going with an idea that he's making the bracha for me. We all have our individual obligations. Alternatively, option number two, maybe he's just making it for himself. Maybe I don't have an obligation to read. Maybe I have an obligation to hear. But maybe he's just making it for himself. And then we're going to ask the question, well, let's say women are not obligated in a mitzvah. Can they make a bracha on that mitzvah? Well, the Ashkenazim say yes, but the Sfardim say no. And we'll get to that in a minute. Why did the Sfardim say no? Well, one of the main reasons is, how can she say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvazanu b'mitzvazat v'tzivanu? How can she say, God commanded me to do this? Well, the bracha on the Torah doesn't say v'tzivanu. So is it okay? Even for the Sfardim? We'll get there in a minute. So that's another option. She's making it, he's making it for himself. Or the other option, which we keep coming back to, is maybe this is nothing to do with individuals. This is all about the community. I don't care whether you have a chiyuv. We have a community chiyuv. Anyone can make the bracha who's in the community. If you look at number 13, this is a very important tshuva of the Rashba. He makes this point. The Rashba is asked, Mi she'enu yodeh likrot b'torah. Someone who doesn't know how to read, which of course is the new reality he's dealing with in the 12th, 13th, 13th century. We're going to bring in this Baal Koreh. Mahu sheyale v'yavarech bebeit ha'knesset birkas ha'torah v'yikra acher b'mkomom. He's asking, does this even work? We do this every week. Can he go up and make the brachas and somebody else come up, a professional, and read, which you and I now call a Baal Koreh? He said, does this work? Tshuva, he answers, yes. Mi sheberech v'loy kara, someone who makes the brachas and didn't read, lai havalei mevarech levatola. It's not called a bracha levatola. It's fine. He can make that bracha. Why? Not like we just saw. It's not an individual. He's being moitzimi. It's for the community. Shaper hava matzi mevarech. Of course he can make the bracha again. Af alpi she'ena kore. I don't care whether he's reading. I don't care who's reading. It's for everybody together. It's a tzibur. Now you're going to ask, are women part of the tzibur? Well, for Matan Torah they were. For Ezra and Nehemiah they were. For Hakel they were. On the other hand, we'll see next week, Rav Goren says, yeah, but we need a minyan. And the women can't do that. So how can you be part of the tzibur where you can't actually make the thing that creates the ability for the tzibur to do this? So we'll see Rav Goren, whether we agree with Rav Goren when we get there. Okay, so you see already there's a debate which we're not going to answer exactly, but that turns on, you know, what are the brachas, who are they being made for? And now, what kind of brachas are they? Is it like a bracha on a mitzvah? Have a look at number 14. It says the Sefer Ha'ora. It's a really interesting range of sources we're going to see today from the school of Rashi. Din Birkas HaTorah, he says, okay, let's talk about Birkas HaTorah, number 14. In Toma, if you want to argue, Hail the Amrina She'ain Sarich Levarich al Talmud Torah. If you say that somebody forgot to say Birkas HaTorah in the morning, do they have to say it later on? Let's say Shekvar Niftar Ba'ahava Rabba. There is a rule, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, is a halacha. Somebody didn't say Birkas HaTorah, a man or a woman. Or they can't remember if they said Birkas HaTorah at the beginning. Sometimes people are a bit samished at the beginning of the day. They just woke up and they already think, oh, did I say Birkas HaTorah or not? How could someone think that way? It happens to me more than once, you know? So the answer is, it's fine. When you read Ahava Rabba, which is the bracha before the Shema, and it says Lilmoid, Ulalameid, Lishmar, Velas, that acts as a Birkas HaTorah. That is a Birkas HaTorah. Okay, so somebody already did Ahava Rabba. My timer, so what's the reason? Mavarchin now creates a Torah Shibbetzibor. So why do they get up and make another Asher Bachabani? So Teretz, the answer, when he's reading from the Torah, the answer is, Mishum Dehavelei Mitzvah. Nu, it's a mitzvah. Mipnei Atzma, it's an independent mitzvah. Kidatikan Ezra, because Ezra made this a rabbinic mitzvah. The Havalei ke mitzvahs tefillin, or tzitzis, or shar mitzvahs, the e avidle, if you want to do a mitzvah, boy levarachi, you make a bracha. Meaning, I don't know what you're asking. It's a bracha on a mitzvah. There's a separate mitzvah of reading from the Torah. It's a rabbinic mitzvah. Chazal say, macha bracha. You make a bracha. It's nothing to do with what you did in the morning. So, but you see from here, he understands that the bracha on the Torah is a birkas ha-mitzvah. Okay, it doesn't say, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu. Doesn't matter. It's a different kind of nusach, but it's a bracha on the mitzvah. And then we're going to have to ask, well, again, if a woman who is not obligated in the mitzvah, does she make that bracha? Yes or no? We'll get to that in a minute. However, the Torah says, no, this is not a birkas ha-mitzvah. It's a birkas ha-shevach. It's praising God. Look at number 15. Rabbeinu Yehuda Bar Tzaloni, which is, we'll see Sefer Itzim also in a minute, from the 11th, 12th century, says as follows. Kasav b'shem Rav Sadiagon. He brings from Rav Sadiagon. The afal pi shekvar birech ala Torah baboker. Even though this person has already made the brachas early in the morning, koden parashas hagabon karbonis, when he reads the korbonis, chayze omavarech hashem achabanu, he still says the bracha on the Torah, kashikare b'Torah. The loy havi bracha levatala, and it's not a bracha levatala, why not? Mishum kavod hatayra. It's a bracha on kavod hatayra nitkana kishikari b'tzibur. It's not that I'm making a bracha on a mitzvah, I'm making a birkas ha-shevach. Like the bracha on thunder. The big shaila in the school that I teach at yesterday is all the girls told me they woke up in the middle of the night in Yerushalayim 2 nights ago with a clap of thunder like you've never heard. I don't live in Yerushalayim. I live in Gush Etzion. We didn't have that clap of thunder there. And all the girls were asking, you know, do I have to make a bracha, you know, if I'm asleep and if I just woke up and I didn't wash my hands? And they're like, I'm very impressed that they're all asking those shailas, okay? But it's a birkas ha-shevach. You make shikoichu gvoros amali oilam. It's not a mitzvah. It's a shevach. It's a praise. So maybe the bracha on the Torah is nishkan birkas ha-mitzvah. So birkas ha-shevach, baruch Hashem, we have Torah, we're very happy. Again, even if you want to argue, women don't make brachas on mitzvahs that they're not obligated in, which is debatable. Well, maybe this is not a bracha on a mitzvah. Women make brachas of praise. No one's obligated, it's praising the Torah. So again, we're not going to resolve that. It's going to be a question out there as an issue, what kind of bracha is it? Now, let's get into the issue of the Baal Korah, because this actually is fascinating. Why did we start with the Baal Korah? The Gemara doesn't know anything about a Baal Korah. The Gemara assumes everyone who goes up reads. So look at number 16. This is the Tosefta I referred to before. Bet HaKnesset she'ein lahem mi she'yikra ela echad. A Bet HaKnesset only has one person who knows how to read. Omed v'Korah v'Yoshev v'Omed v'Korah v'Yoshev Omed v'Korah v'Yoshev afilu sheva pamim. Every time, Yamoid, Moshe Pipik Ben, you know, Yamoid, 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 Yamoid. He gets all the aliyahs because he's the only person that can read. He has to sit down each time, you know, but he gets all the aliyahs. And maybe he would make a bracha, maybe he'd only make it at the beginning and the end. Again, this was before everyone made a bracha. What's the problem of just having a go? You know, okay, you don't read the best, but like, no, you can't have a Baal Korah who doesn't know how to read in an ideal world. Look at number 17. This is a phenomenal midrash. I've never seen this midrash before, and it's very, very striking. Masid Rabbi Akiva. It happened once with Rabbi Akiva. Shekaru ha-chazan b'rabim likrois b'sefer Torah. The chazan, the gabbai, which they call the chazan, called him up for an aliyah. This is Rabbi Akiva. V'loi ratzal alois, and he didn't want to go. He said no. Amru loy Talmidim, the Talmidim said to him, and this is not young Rabbi Akiva, this is old Rabbi Akiva with Talmidim. Rabbeinu, they said, loy kach lamadatanu, didn't you teach us? Ki hi chayecha v'arich yamecha? This Torah is a life, this is the length of our days. V'lama nibneit l'mila alois. It's terrible to be called up and refuse to go. When it says, this is the length of your days, the Gemara says elsewhere, someone who's called up to the Torah and doesn't go for the Aliyah, it could shorten their days, because this is the length of your days and you're not going up. By the way, little preview for next week, one of the B'dievet situations in which today's poskim do allow a woman to have an Aliyah, depending on who you ask, is if they called her up mistakenly. The Gabba, you know, doesn't realize or doesn't care, and he says, Yamdi, you know, Rochel Bas Moshe Chaim, you know, Tamdi rather. And he calls her up. Maybe you called her up, she can't refuse, because once you call someone up, Tamdi, Rochel Bas, whatever, then she can't say no. We'll see. It's very problematic to say no. So why did he say no? Amalehem, he said to them, Ha'avodah, I swear, he says. Lo ninneti likra, the only reason I said no is that al sheloi sidarti oisa parsha shnai mishlosha pa'amim. I didn't prepare the laning. I'm not going to get up there and read when I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't prepare. Twice or three times. She'ein adam reshoi loima divrei Torah lifnei atzibah. You're only allowed to read from the Torah at sheyish yishad to obey the gimel pa'amim. You have to have gone through it clearly twice or three times. Bein ol bein atzmo, prepared in advance. And then he says an amazing thing. She'kein matzinu ba'kodesh baruch hu. We find that Hashem did the same thing. Because it says, k'siv v'yidaba elukim et kol ha'dvarim ha'ele. This is the Ten Commandments. God said all of these things, lay more, saying, first of all, bein ol bein atzmo. First he practiced the laning. God's practicing the laning of the Ten Commandments, the Achrikain Lemo, and then he says it over. But God's not going to come along and lane in public without being sure. I mean, what does that even mean? How do you even type to, you know, unpack it? It's a fascinating medrash. But Rabbi Akiva said no. And therefore, people who can't lane shouldn't lane. Number 18, look at the Sefer Itim, Rabbi Yudah Batzaloni again. Misha Eino Yodea Likrot Batorah Klam. Someone who just doesn't know how to lane. Okay, hi patur minikres b'torah klal. Okay, he's completely exempted. The af eino rishai, and he's not even allowed nami la'alot likrot b'torah. He's not allowed to get up and read. Aval im eino yodei likrot ha'ole b'dikduk. What happens if he can fudge it? Just about. Okay, it's not like he's clueless, but he can. You know, I need a bit of help. What do they do? Again, they didn't have a bal kaira. Yisayah ha-chazan b'lechisha. So the chazan, the gabbai, should whisper the words to him. Yeah? K'goin adam she'loichish l'chaveru. Like someone whispering to their friend. V'loi lishma'u l'zibora. But the tzibor mustn't hear the gabbai whispering it. Ki heichad aloi litrudi b'trei koli. Because then there'll be two people laning at the same time. B'trei koli loi mishkamai. And we people can't focus on two noises at the same time. We'll see that we can call isha. So what did they do back in the day before they had a bal kaira? So people who couldn't read, they didn't call them up. People who could half read, they call them up. And they'd look at it. And they'd look at the guy and he'd go, Bereshis. Now they do all this business, you know. Oops.
Sorry about that.
Okay. It's you, sorry.
A-L-O-U-D.
What did I say?
You
spelled repeat them aloud, sorry. Picked up my spelling. Yes, quite right. Aloud. Not repeat them aloud. Thank you. I will correct that. But the point is that they whispered to them what the laning was. And Tosafos bring the same idea, that they would whisper the bracha, the laning, the reading, to the person who was reading. Look here in number 19. They didn't have a fixed chazan to do the laning. What do we do now in France? He gives him a hand, he whispers the words in his mouth. Because we don't want to embarrass people if they don't know how to read. Like we see with Bikurim, this is already from Bikurim in the Beis HaMikdash. They had to, the person who was bringing the first fruits had to do Mikra Bikurim, had to say it. In order not to embarrass people who didn't know how to say it, they instituted that the person would be makri, they would say it for them. Like we do often under a chuppah, you know, the chosen, they do this less and less now, but when I was younger, everyone did this. The Rav says, hare, hare, at, you know, mukudeshet, etc. Because people get flustered in the you know, the last minute and don't know what to say. Fine. So we don't embarrass people, so we whisper everything to them and we let them read. Fine. We instituted a bal kaira, but for two reasons. We'll see the second one in the Rosh. One of them we've just seen is people don't know how to read. And it's embarrassing for them if they're called up or if they say no or if they don't know what they're doing. But there's a second reason that the Rosh is going to bring. Some people think that they can read. Oh, I'm a Balcourier from Palm, you know? And you call them up, and it's not embarrassing for them. It's embarrassing for everybody else, because he doesn't know how to read, and he thinks he does know how to read, and then you'll start a fight, in short. Okay? People can get Bruegger's quite easily. You may have worked this out over the last few years. And therefore, that's another reason why we brought it in. We'll see the sentiment in the Rosh. So, originally we had no Balcourier, but now we do. So now we have a problem. And this is going to compound our problem with women's brachas. It was one thing saying, can I call up a woman to read herself and make the brachas? It's another thing to say, well, now we're going to have someone making the brachas and someone else reading. Who's doing what for whom? And there are four options. Option number one is, the Ole is really making the brachas for himself, and he has to read along quietly. And any people in the room, I assume most of the men have had an aliyah, will know that most people read along quietly. If anyone's a Balcourier, they'll know that most people read along quietly and get half of it wrong. Okay? But nevertheless, they read. And that's based on a Rosh. Number 20. Umashanagu ha'idna. These days, he's living in the 13th century in Spain, and then in Germany, then Spain. These days, he says, Shashliat Sibakore, that we have a fixed Balcourier. It's to not embarrass people who don't know what they're doing. If you she'ena kol bekiyim b'tamei hakriya, not everybody knows the tamim. The ein tzibur yotze b'kriyasa. Interesting. The tamim is the song. Okay, it's the trope. So not everybody knows that. And if you get the trope wrong, you might not be yotzi. This is actually a very interesting question we're not dealing with. If you get the words wrong, it's definitely a problem. But what if you just don't know the tune? So the tune can be the punctuation for the words. You know, in English we have commas. In the Torah they have no commas and full stops. And therefore, the difference between let's eat, comma, grandma, and let's eat grandma are two very, very different statements. So, for example, in the Pasuk, lo tignoivu, do not steal. Each one for their fellow man. Ish ba'amito is usually a mitzvah between Jews. So, it says, lo tignovu, you're not allowed to steal from Jews. But you are allowed to steal, it sounds like, from non-Jews. And the answer to the Ritva says, no, you didn't punctuate it right. Lo tignovu has an etnachta. Lo tignovu, period. You can't steal from anybody. The other mitzvahs at the end, hachashar, and that maybe is a different shaila as to who you're dealing with. But tignova, if you don't pronounce the trope right, then maybe you're getting it all wrong. So we have a shliach tzibur. For who be'enav, and this person who's going to get up in his own eyes, ki yodea, he thinks he can lane. Ve'im lo yikru b'torah, asilin suyim shliach tzibur. And if you don't let him, you imagine, you have a shul. Him will let lane. We won't let lane. There's going to be a fight, in short. Ulekach, therefore, hitkinu sheyikra shliach tzibur. Shehu baki b'kriyasa, fine. Mikol makam, gam ha'omid likra is yikra b'nachas. But the person who's called up has to read quietly, ubedikduk, and properly, im shliach tzibur. We're together with the shliach tzibur. Shalom tehei brocha levatola. And the Rosh says, if you don't read along quietly with the shliach tzibur, you just made a brocha levatola. Why? Because the brocha was for you. It was for your mitzvah. You're making that bracha for yourself. And if you can't read, you can't read. And you're making bracha levatala. And therefore, someone who doesn't know how to read quietly, ain roishi gru shliach tzibur. You can't call him up. Because it's a bracha levatala. It doesn't make sense that he's making a bracha for the Balcourier. He's making a bracha for himself. The Rosh Paskins and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way, number 21. If the person you're calling up doesn't know how to read along, you can't give him an aliyah. A blind person, you can't give him an aliyah. Because unless he's able to read properly with the shliach tzibur, with the Balcourier rather, it's bracha levatala. Now, we don't do that today. Can you imagine if we only called up people, we tested, it's bad enough that we test the Balcourier. We have to know that the people can read before we call them up. We don't do that. And we'll see why in a minute we don't do that. Rosh Abba Zalman raises a question like, why exactly are we saying that this works? That the Oyla is making a brocha and then reading so quietly that no one can hear him? Okay, maybe he can hear himself. He raises a question. I don't know how that system would work, that he's making a brocha for himself and reading quietly along. Like I said, We don't pass in that way. We call up everybody for an aliyah. We call up a blind person for an aliyah, every man for an aliyah. Part of the reason for that is Zohar. The Zohar actually says not only is it not necessary to read along, but it's terrible to read along. Api Kabbalah. And a lot of people are now kind of rely, if you like, on that Zohar. And also other Psakim, Maharil, says you don't have to read along. I'm not getting into the Kabbalah now. But that whole system of reading along, okay, that's what the Rosh says, what Shulchan Aruch says, but it's not so straightforward. There's another option. Maybe I'm not making the brachas for my own reading. Maybe I can make a bracha. He can read. And I'm yotzer by what? Shomea ka'one. If I have in mind, I have an obligation to do something, and he does it for me, then it's as if I did it. Think about it. Parsha Zohar, or Kriyas Megillah. So we have a situation where the person who reads is reading for me. It's as if I'm reading. I don't need to read along. I'm listening. He has in mind to be motzi me. I have in mind to be yotze with him. I'm doing it. If the person making Kiddush on Friday night is making Kiddush, he has in mind for me, it's as if I'm making Kiddush. I'm actually saying the words halachically, even though I'm not saying them physically. So maybe it just works through that. And Beit Yosef says this in number 23. Says the ha'ika lameima. You could alternatively argue, no. The kol sheha'oleh shomea, as long as the person who is coming up for an aliyah can hear, mashashlich tzibur kore, what the bar kore is saying, u'mechaven libu ledvarav, and he has intention to be covered, harizu kore, as if he's reading the shomea ka'oneh. Because we say shomea is ka'oneh, and therefore that works just fine. The Mishnah Berurah asks a question on this, like, does that really work? Look at what he says in number 24. Because she'ein a korah ba'atzma, if you're not reading along for yourself, einu ela kashar anshei hatzibur she'shomim, then you're like everybody else. Think about it. The guy who's standing there says the brachas and then quietly listens. He's the same as everybody else. Ve'imkein eich v'shar levarich. So why is he making a brocha? Why is he any different from the guy sitting on the fifth row listening to the leining? Let him make a brocha. It's all the same. Well, what are you doing? You're just listening. And, well, he's also just listening. So then why are you making the bracha and he's not making the bracha? You're all in the same boat. Hagab is shomim, but with the people sitting in the shul, lo tiknu rabban bracha. They didn't make a bracha for them, but kriyas haTorah. And he answers maybe, b'doichak. I could maybe say, de hashliach tzibur einu mechaven lahoytzi rak ha'oyle. Maybe the shliach tzibur is only having kavana to be mostly the person who's actually having the aliyah. Raka oile, shekoru bishvili, he's reading for him. Well, what about all the others? We'll see. Ukamoshi kasavna betoisa, shekzinu kidek shaloi levayish, et misha eino yodem. The whole point is we don't embarrass people if they don't know how to read. Ule shar hatsibor, what about the guys, the women in shul? Maybe eino rak shmia ba'alma. Maybe they don't need to say it, they just need to hear it. And therefore, now we're kind of splitting people up, which is the person having the aliyah, he is as if he's saying it. But the people sitting in the audience, as it were, they don't need to say it, they just need to hear it. It's a different kind of mitzvah, and that's why they don't say a bracha.
Maybe it's different, but he's the only one who sees the actual...
Yeah, he's the only one who can read. Yeah, and the mitzvah is to read.
Sees those words.
I understand, but with Megillah... We don't care. With Parsha Zohar, we don't care. I don't have to read a Megillah to be Yotze. I can just listen. Rav Moshe makes it even more complicated. If you thought it wasn't complicated enough. Number 22. The she'ha'ole ha'mevorech, the guy who's getting up to make a bracha, who ha'kore, he is considered the one who is reading, ha'mashmir la'hatzibor, and he is reading for the other people, for the tzibor, even though he's not reading anything. For who midin shlichus. And that's shlichus. The hamakre, because the actual bal kore, who shaluchai lahashmia letibur. So Rav Moshe says, what's actually happening? I go up for an aliyah. I'm making the brachas. I'm not saying anything. But I am being moitze the rest of the people. Okay? Well, I'm not saying anything. No, but he's my shliach. And I'm making him my shliach to read for me. And therefore... He's doing the physical act, but it's really like what's going on? This is getting very complicated.
Suppose he's deaf.
Suppose who's deaf?
Person gets called.
A good question. Then that it falls apart if he's deaf because he can't hear. He can't shomer ka'ayin. It doesn't work if you're in a shomer. You're right. Then there's the possibility, which is the one we keep coming back to. Well, maybe it's just a communal thing, and then we don't mind, and anyone can make the bracha, really, as long as it's anyone in the community. And we're going to see that's what the women's aliyah movement is going to fall back on, even though that's a minority opinion. And then you have something really interesting, which is a complete flip, which is that the real person who's reading is the Baal Korah. I'm making the brachas, why?
For him.
He's not reading for me. I'm making a bracha for him. And he's the one that's doing the mitzvah. Does that work? Can someone else do a mitzvah? And then you come along and make a bracha? Yes. Because Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lazeh. And now we have Arvus. For example, we're not going to learn it inside, but number 26 is the mitzvah of tzitzit. So when someone wants to wear tzitzit, and they say, I'm going to wear tzitzit, but I'd like you to make a bracha for me. So if everybody's doing the mitzvah together, then for sure, so one person can make a bracha and everybody is covered. We do that all the time, yeah? And that's what we do with food and drink. If like everybody's having a glass of Coke, one person can make shahakol and everybody says amen and we're all good. But if he's already done the mitzvah, I already did the mitzvah before, can he make a bracha? Now with shahakol, he can't do that. You can't say to someone, well, you're not having a drink of Coke, and I am, but please can you just make the shahakol for me, and I'll listen. That doesn't work, because he's not drinking. You can't just say shahakol in the middle of nowhere, and somebody else be yotze. But it does work for mitzvahs. Afalpi de yatza moitzi, because kol yisrael arevim ze lazeh. And therefore, someone can really turn around and say, okay, you don't want to make the bracha? I'm going to make the bracha for you. Like, nowhere. You could maybe even do this for benching. I'm not posek. Meaning, somebody's had bread, and somebody says, can you just bench for me? You didn't even eat. Maybe you can sit there and say the whole Birkas HaMazon for them, because there's an arvus. If you didn't do the mitzvah, I didn't do the mitzvah.
What about for one? What about if one person didn't hear Kiddush and everybody else did?
Well, they didn't hear it at all. They have to make their own Kiddush, obviously.
They have to make their own.
Yeah, sure, because they didn't hear Kiddush. So you either have to hear it or make it. So it could work like that. And I'm not even going to get into all of the possibilities, but it could be that I'm the Oleh who's making the bracha for him, and he's doing the mitzvah. Okay, so let's get to women. Now let's talk about women. All of this I needed to prepare you with in order that you'll now know how it all works with women. So as we said before, let's just look at the source again. Let's skip 27 and go to 28. This is our main classic source, Tanna Rabbanan. Kol Olin Minyan Shiva. Everyone in principle adds up to the seven aliyahs. Afilu Katan, Afilu Isha. Whether it's a woman, whether it's a child. Aval Amru Chachamim. But the rabbi said, Isha Loi Tikra B'Torah. A woman shouldn't read from the Torah. Mipnei Kovod Tzibur. Fine. The Kovod Tzibur and the Amru Chachamim we'll get to next week. But in principle, a woman can have an aliyah. So now let's try and plug this into everything we've said. If everybody is individually obligated, and now we're calling up a woman to read, can a woman who is less obligated read for a man who is more obligated? And the answer is no, that doesn't work. We have a principle, number 29, Zeh HaKlal, says the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Kol she'einu mechuyev b'davar, if you don't have an obligation, it's a rabbi yidei chavasan, you can't do it for the other people. Now, you're going to tell me, yeah, but would this guy who just did a mitzvah can still make a bracha for someone even though he's no longer obligated? I already benched, and I can bench again for you. Maybe, certainly, I can blow the shofar or something for you if I already did it. Well, that's because of arvus, because we're all responsible for each other. If you didn't do the mitzvah in a certain way, I didn't do the mitzvah either. I could make, let's say you come to my house on Friday night. I didn't hear Kiddush. I already heard Kiddush. I already made Kiddush. I can make Kiddush again. I can do that. Even though with the bracha and everything. Because we're responsible. But that's because we have the same obligation. If you don't have that obligation, I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me. It doesn't work. We're on a different obligation level. So the Magen Avraham is the one voice that wants to suggest maybe women are obligated. But he says, like I said at the end of last week, but then he says, but I don't know, because all the women walk out of laning when we start laning in my shul, the Magen Avraham in the 1600s. But let's look at the Aruch HaShulchan. He's very clear, and this is the position of pretty much all poskim, women are definitely not obligated in the same way in Kriyas HaTorah. Number 31. Vada, he says, I want you to know, the Nimsa B'Maseches Sofrim, it does say in Maseches Sofrim, Shenoshim Chayavos Lishmor Kriyas Sefer Ka'anoshim. The women have to listen to Leni like men do. Venerally, and I want to say, the lav chiyuv gomor ka'amar. It's not really that the chayev. Remember that Masechah Soferim is a problematic source. It also said women have an obligation to say Shema, which is not true. Not with a paskin. Eladumia de tinoikis. We really think in this sense that women and their children have the same obligation here. Shehari peturim in Talmud Torah. She's not obligated in the same way in Talmud Torah. So of course she doesn't have to hear the laying the same way. And what could be more of a positive time-bound mitzvah than laying? You can only do it now, in shul, on a Monday, on a Thursday. And don't we have a principle that women are exempted from positive time-bound mitzvahs? This is the ultimate. The A Ladamas Lemitzvahs Hakel, don't bring Hakel as an example, all the women had to be there. Shit Sivsa Torah Hakel, the women says that the women have to be there for Hakel. It's Ha'am, Ha'Nashim, V'Nashim, V'Taf. Shizohi Mitzvah Meyuchedet, this is a special thing. Pam the Shevashanim, once every 7 years. Shehiyah Melech Ba'atzma Kairos Sefer, Mishneh Torah, the king read from Dvarim. Shehem Divrei Kvushim, it was very inspirational. Aval Shinema, but you want to tell me Shemachuyaves Bechol Shabbos? Women have an obligation every Shabbos for Kriyas HaTorah? Vadai hu milsed etzmiya. That's a strange thing to suggest. Umasim Bechol Yom Yochichu. And you can see, just look, are the women there or are the women not there? Do they come? Does anyone tell them they have to come? Nobody goes and tells the women they have to come for Kriyas HaTorah. They're very, very much part of the Sibur if they're there, but they don't have to come. And generally speaking, and even if they come, they can't even hear. Why can't they hear? Because the shul acoustic is terrible, because they're all talking, you know, because the men are talking, let's be...
They're all the way in the back.
They're in the back. He says, look, you know, he's not saying that's an ideal, but they're not able to hear. Masechah Sofrim is just giving you Musa. And also that's when they had a targum. The women even understood it then, because they translated simultaneously. So now we don't even have a targum. So what are the women going to get out of it? He's assuming the women are not literate. They don't understand Hebrew. They're not there. They can't hear. He says, don't come and tell me that women are obligated in Talmud Torah. It's just not true. This Magen Avraham is a das yochid, if he's even sure. He said, even though the Magen Avraham is not sure, he says, I am sure. Women are not obligated. Rav Shechter, I brought you number 7 at the top, page 7, sorry, 32. Rav Shechter says that, of course, if a woman comes to Leining, she is doing the mitzvah of communal Kriyas HaTorah. Because even though she's not obligated, she is doing the mitzvah, she's part of the tzibur. And he's going to raise that with women's prayer services. If she goes to a women's reading with no brachas, with no baruchu, she's missing out on the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. Now, you could sit around and say, okay, well, she's not obligated, she prefers to do this, it's more inspired. Okay, good, you can make a case for that. But it is there's no question that the women are, or there's almost no question they're not obligated. The Me'iri, which is a long Me'iri, which I'm not going to read inside, says, and therefore, this is very important, number 33, when it's said in the Brisa that the women can be called up, he meant in the middle when they didn't used to make brachas. You have a man in the beginning, you have a man at the end, they make the brochas, they're obligated, they're being motzeh, they're doing everything right, and the women in the middle are reading, but they're not making the brochas, because remember, they didn't make brochas in the middle. So it's fine, it's all one unit. Why are they calling up women? Could be there weren't enough men, there weren't enough people that knew how to read. They had a guy for the beginning, they had a guy for the end, and they had a few kids and some women in the middle, but it doesn't matter because they're not making the brochas, says the Me'iri. But today, when everyone makes a brocha on their own aliyah, the whole thing falls apart. It doesn't work. How could she make bracha? She's not obligated in that mitzvah in the same way, and she certainly can't be moitzi the men. Now, let's go on a little bit. And then we'll talk about women's readings at the very, very end. Let's just make one more point on this issue of whether women can or can't make the bracha. Let's go to page 8. So, we all know that there is a distinction between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. In fact, on this question where it's very interesting, Tosfos, who is the one who's trying to justify generally with mitzvahs that women are not obligated in sukkah, shofar, lulav, why do Ashkenazi women make brachas? He's trying to find out, how can that be okay? The Rambam says explicitly it's not okay. The Gemara never mentions it. Now, if the Gemara never mentions it, maybe he never mentions it because it's obviously not okay, or because it obviously is okay, but the Rambam says no. Tosfos say, what can we do? Our women are making brachas. It sounds like it's coming from the women, by the way. But they can't be wrong. To tell all the women that they're all wrong, he says, that's not an option. Which is very interesting. I don't think the Rambam would have a problem with that. For the Sfaradim, also, even if it's a minag, I don't care if it's a minag. If it's wrong, it's wrong. For the Ashkenazim, we take our women very seriously, and we take our minhagim very seriously, and therefore it can't be wrong if the women are doing it. One of the proofs he brings, that you can see it's okay for a woman to make a bracha on a mitzvah, even if she's not obligated, is from here. And she says, because you see women are called up to the Torah, in theory, before we get on to Kovod HaTzibur, yeah? Women are called up, they're making a bracha, they're not obligated, so obviously you see from here that women are allowed to make a bracha on something they're not obligated in. But then they say, no, maybe there's other things, maybe it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah, maybe it's a Birkas HaShevach, like we said before, or maybe it's, like we saw before with the Meiri, that it's the women in the middle that came, and not the women that made the brachas, etc., etc. So, again, it's not clear, and I've summarized for you at the bottom of page 8, there are basically four approaches as to whether women can make the brachas on Kriyas HaTorah. Here we are. 1, 2, 3, 4. Look at them with me at the bottom of page 8. 1. The brachas are Birkas HaMitzvah, and they're being motzi other people, and the women can't say them because she's not obligated. She can't make a bracha. She can't do it because she can't be motzi him. Number 2. Maybe the brachas are still Birkas HaMitzvah, but she's Ashkenazi. And she says, I can make brachas on mitzvahs that I'm not obligated in. Or maybe because he doesn't say Vitzivanu, it's different. That's great. But you still can't be motzi the guys because you're less obligated and they're more obligated. Or option number 3. The bracha is a personal obligation of the oila. I'm not being motzi anyone. She's just saying, look, I'm doing it for myself. Okay, that could work. Or the bracha is a communal obligation and therefore anybody in theory can say it. So maybe number 3 and number 4 maybe would scrape through. But then we'd still have to ask the question next week of a what happened to Kovod Sibur. And before we even get there, we have another problem. Page number 9. All of this is before we had a Baal Korah. We just spent 15 minutes talking about what goes on with the Baal Korah. Am I doing the brachas for him? Is he doing the laying for me? Am I doing it for them? Is he my shliach? Am I doing Shmei Ka'ayna? And there's all... Rabbi Frimmer, who wrote that 90,000 word article that I mentioned last week, have pages and pages and pages. And honestly, if we try to go through it, we'd be here. There'd be no one left in the shir at the end. Everyone would have walked out. I'll let you read it, please. But I'll summarize it. They basically said that because of the complications of the Baal Korah, there's almost no combination that would work today for a woman to have an aliyah other than a woman coming up and reading her own laning for herself. So that's the only one that will work. Maybe, according to a minority opinion, a male Baal Korah and a female Ola, but probably not according to the majority. But what would work is for her to do it for herself. And all of that is before the issue of Kovod Sibur. So I think it's pretty clear, to me anyway, in my humble opinion, it doesn't work. According to the vast majority of poskim, before we even get to Kovod Sibur, which we're going to see next week. Just let's spend 3 minutes talking about women's readings. Where not partnership minyanim, where it's just women. Now, in theory, this should be more simple, straightforward, yeah? Because we're not dealing with Kriyas HaTorah. There's no minyan. It's not Kriyas HaTorah. You're not going to have the formal structure of Kriyas HaTorah. And the question is, can you have a woman's Sefer Torah reading, which is not Kriyas HaTorah? So this really is a separate shir, but I'll talk about it for 5 minutes, and it's not actually not that complicated. There are 4 halakhic questions. Number 1, can the women touch and move the Sifrei Torah? Yes, we talked about that when we talked about dancing with the Sefer Torah. That's not really a halakhic issue. Number 2, can we move a Sefer Torah for a non-mitzvah? You can't just take a Sefer Torah out to show to people like a tourist group. There has to be a mitzvah. Okay, so you could argue you use a private Sefer Torah, maybe not a shul Sefer Torah. I brought you here the Har Tzvi. If someone has, people have private Sefer Torah, so then you can move around for women's readings because they're private Sefer Torah. Then there's the question of, you know, can they miss out on the mitzvah of laning in the Tzibur when they're choosing to do something which is not that? So, okay, you know, Bib Rosh Echter says it's a shame, but she might say, it's fine, I'd rather go here. The main problem is the bracha. In a women's only reading with no minyan, can they make the brachas Birkas HaTorah? And the answer is definitely not. Definitely not, because it's not laning with no minyan. So what do? So some women's services, they just miss the brachas out, and they read. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Some of them try and replace the brachas with other things. You know, nice readings and citations. Some of them say a Tehillim, the pasuk from Tehillim, Baruch Ata Adonai Lamdeni Chukecha, which is the, everyone should know that bracha, or that pasuk, because that's what you say when you started saying Shem Hashem in a bracha, and you realize that it's going to be a bracha levatala. Okay, that's nice. Some of them try to engineer a situation. I'm not going to say Asher Bachabanu in the morning when I wake up and do Pirkei HaTorah, and I'm going to delay it till I come, and I'm going to say it now, but it's really my Pirkei HaTorah from a personal... I brought you in the footnotes a lot of reasons why that's problematic. And even Rabbanim, who are very open to innovation on women's areas, Rav Gigi in the Gush, says that won't work. And the real answer is that actually it seems clear, not the real answer, but I brought you a survey from Jofer as to who does what. A lot of these women's readings just say, you know something, we're just going to make the brachas and we'll just, you know, we'll do whatever we want. And like I said last week, not all of them do that. But that's part of the problem here, because if you don't have any kind, and that's wrong, it's clearly bracha levatala, no question. But if you have no halachic sort of supervision of any kind, there's no rabbi, there's no posek of any kind, even one that's very liberal and very open to these things, people end up doing whatever they want. And therefore, you can see for yourself and go around and see what people do. Again, many of them are very makpid. There's a women's Torah reading group in our shul in Alon Shvut. They're very makpid. They don't make the brachas, etc. Okay, there are women who are very makpid, but there are plenty of situations where it slides into a non-halachic observance. Okay, so I hope that was not too much. Next week will be more straightforward, but so far so good. Be'ezrat Hashem.